Welcome to Insights for Eternity with Pastor John Edmiston. In-depth Bible teaching that will prepare you for life and for ministry. If you would like some formal training, which is very affordable, go to his website at harvesttimeinstitute.org. That is HARVESTIME Institute.org. Now, open your Bibles as we listen to today's lesson.
Hi, this is John Edmiston with Insights for Eternity. God bless you all. We're going into our second episode of our series on spiritual discernment. And today we'll be looking at the tests of a true and a false Christian. And the Bible talks about false brethren and people that are not true Christians at all. And how do we sort out the wheat from the tares? Before we do that, let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for your purposes in our life. We thank you for your salvation that has come upon us. And now we want to listen to your word. We want to understand your word. So please open our spiritual ears, open our spiritual eyes, that we may behold truth from your Bible in Jesus' name. Amen. So here we are. There's four things in 1 John that are tests of a true believer. Last week we looked at the first of five, actually. It's four today. But one last week was true beliefs about Jesus Christ. You have to believe in Jesus and you have to believe certain things, such as that he's come in the flesh, that he's Lord, that he's the Son of God, and that he is the Christ. But today we're going to look at four things that are characteristics of Christians that are their fruit. We know them by their fruit. Well, there's four fruit that a Christian has to have. Firstly, they have to have fellowship with the saints. They have to hang out with other believers and like them. They have to have agape love. They have to have a righteous lifestyle. And then they have to have the presence of the Holy Spirit in their life. So let's just start looking at that. Fellowship with the saints. What do I mean by that? Let's look at 1 John chapter 2 and verse 19. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 19. They went out from us, but they were not of us, for if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that it might become plain that they are all not of us. So these Gnostics, the heretics that the Apostle John's talking about, these false teachers went out and created their own churches out of theological rebellion. They had a rebellious spirit, and they went off and planted their own churches because they had a different set of beliefs. And we find that with false teachers, they were to create their own church, their own denomination, their own way of seeing things. Some of them interpret the Bible differently, produce their own Bibles, and so on and so forth. And so we find that they go and have their own set of teachings different from the main teachings of Christianity. Now, where are the main teachings of Christianity? Of course, in the Bible, Old and New Testaments, especially the New Testament, that defines Christians versus Jews, the New Testament, and then what we call the universal creeds of the Christian church. What are the universal creeds that all major denominations share? They're the Apostles' Creed, the Nicene Creed, and the Formula of Chalcedon. Now, the Apostles' Creed sets out the basics of who Jesus is. The Nicene Creed sets out the formulation of the Trinity, and the Formula of Chalcedon, or the Chalcedon Creed, sets out the two natures of Christ as fully God and fully man. So those three documents produced by the early church and produced out of a lot of theological reflection have been the standard tests of orthodoxy in the Christian world. So you can just Google them, look them up on the internet, the Apostles' Creed, the Nicene Creed, and the Creed of Chalcedon, and they were before other denominations existed, the Catholics, the Orthodox, all the rest. That's when there was just one form of Christianity. They were the doctrinal tests of. And when people go out and away from those basic creeds, away from the Bible, and they start inventing things like the Book of Mormon or a new translation of the Bible, they are going out from Christianity to establish their own religion, and that proves that they're not of us, because they don't want to fellowship with us, they don't want to love us, they don't want to be part of us anymore because they've had a dispute. So do I have to, am I saying you have to stay at the same church all the time? No. You can move churches. If you're at a church and the Sunday school isn't up to standard for your children, then you can go to a church with a better Sunday school. You're not leaving Christianity. You're not leaving beliefs about Christ. You're just saying that your kids need a Sunday school that can teach them properly or something like that. If you go to a church and you've moved house, you moved from one city to another city, of course, you can change church, find a church in the new city, and so on. There are valid reasons for changing churches, but being bitter and angry is not one of them. So if you've got disputes with your church or your pastor, go and sort that out. But don't move churches unless there's a really good reason for moving churches. But the thing they're talking about here is not going out from a particular church, but going out from the beliefs of Christianity as a whole. So that these heretics had gone out from the New Testament, they'd gone out from the teachings of Jesus, they had, were disputing basic things such as the Apostles' Creed, the Nicene Creed, and the formula of Chalcedon, and they had gone out from the fundamentals of the Christian faith. Now, 1 John chapter 4, verses 4 to 6, "Little children, you are from God and have overcome them, for he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are from the world, therefore they speak from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." So the people who were the heretics, they were not listening to the apostolic teaching, the teaching of Peter, James, John, Matthew, all the apostles, the teaching we have in the Bible, such as the teaching of Paul. This apostolic teaching, they were not listening to us. Whoever knows God listens to us. If you know God, you will listen to the Bible, particularly the New Testament, and you will heed that and you'll write it down, you'll hide it in your heart. You will listen to the words of the apostles, which we now have as scripture. But whoever is not from God does not listen to us. So we find the world out there, the proud people of the world, they won't listen to the Bible. They won't open the Bible. They won't look at the Bible because they're not of God, and they won't listen to the apostolic teaching, the teaching of the Apostle John and all the other apostles. They don't want to hear that. They want to throw that behind their back, and we find all these rebellious people, these people who are with all these modern movements, these social movements, they hate Christianity. They hate the Bible. They want to ban the Bible. They want to take the Bible out of schools, out of churches, and out of nations. And if they could burn the Bible, they would burn the Bible. But the Bible has always withstood the challenges of society. So it also says, they are from the world, therefore they speak from the world, and the world listens to them. So these are the heretics that just talk about money and greed and sex and things like that. They say, oh, well, you know, the sexual teachings of the Bible don't matter at all. We're just going to throw them behind us. We're going to get rid of this, get rid of that. And the world says, oh, that's wonderful. We approve of you now. And that's a very dangerous thing to hear. You don't want the world's approval. You want to reach the world. You want to convict the world. You want to share the gospel with the world. But you don't want the approval of the world wholeheartedly, because that's what the false prophets had. Jesus talks about that in the book of Matthew. And so you don't want the same sort of approval that the false prophets had. And they were loved for all their smooth words and flattery and say, oh, this isn't sin, that's not sin, just don't worry about it. And so those who are false listen to the world. And if their voice sounds worldly, if all their sermons are full of non-Christian illustrations, you know that they're listening to the world and not to the Bible. So for they speak from the world and the world listens to them. It says, by this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. So when we're looking at someone, you've got to ask, is this person listening to the Bible, or is this person listening to the world? So if they're listening to the world, they're from the world. They're from the world system that's controlled by the devil. But if they're listening to the Bible, then that person's probably from God. If that person loves the scriptures and hides them in their heart, then that person is probably from God. And I was on the phone with someone this morning who absolutely loves the scriptures. And it's a delight to talk to a person who is like that, and who is listening to the Bible and putting the world far behind her. And so you need to put the world behind you, the cross before you, and you want to listen to God's word and not all the nonsense and pride and vanity and fashion and money and greed of the world. You want to have Christian values, not worldly values. So a true Christian listens to God and listens to the Bible and listens to the truth that the apostles wrote, a false Christian does not listen to the Bible, but instead listens to worldly values. Okay, continuing with our how do we know a true Christian from a false Christian, the next big test is the test of love. And we've got four Bible verses, again, all from 1 John. We'll start with 1 John 4 and verse 16. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. So if we are full of agape love, we're not talking about human lust here, we're full of God's love, then if we abide in God's love, we abide in God, and God abides in him, and we know that the love of God in our hearts is a sign that we're a true believer. And going down a little bit in that verse, the same chapter, 1 John 4, verses 20 and 21. If anyone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, whoever loves God must also love his brother or sister. We'll put that in there. So when you say, I love the Lord, but then you gossip about people, backstab people, and hate people, then you're lying, because you do not know God properly, because God is love, and if you have the love of God in your heart, you're not going to do those things. So a true Christian has a heart full of love towards their neighbor. They love their neighbor, they love their brother or sister in Christ. They're not going around and being nasty and hateful. A hateful lifestyle is the sign of a false believer, someone who is deluded about their faith. They hate people, and the hate of the devil fills their heart instead of the love of God. 1 John chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, along the same line. So whoever says he is in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness. Whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there is no cause of stumbling. So when you love your brother or sister, you abide in the light. But if you hate your brother or sister, you're still in the darkness. You cannot be a true Christian and be full of hate for other people. That is a dark place to be. And if you've got grudges, if you've got resentments, if you're not forgiving people, you need to repent right now and get right with God, because love is the characteristic. It's the defining fact of the Christian life. You need to start participating in agape love. And you need to pray, Lord Jesus Christ, give me a loving heart. Now help me to get rid of the darkness in my soul, get rid of the envy, the hatred, the strife, the critical spirit, all the things that make people hate, the resentments, the hurts, everything in your heart that's causing you to hate people. You need to turn that over to the Lord Jesus Christ and repent of your hatred. Repent of the sin of hatred so that you can go out from the darkness into the light, out from all those resentments that have held you bondage for many, many years. 1 John chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. We know that we have passed out of death into life. Why? Because we love the brothers and sisters. Whoever does not love abides in death. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. So if you're alive, someone comes along and they're teaching the Bible, but they're full of hate, they're full of anger, they're full of rage, they truly hate people, well, they don't have eternal life. They have religiosity instead, because everyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life. These preachers that are full of fundamentalism and hatred and rage, they're hateful of hate for people. Well, they haven't got the gospel. They've got something else. And that something else is the spirit of the devil, the spirit of hatred and resentment and anger. It says, we know we are passed out from death to life because we love the brothers and sisters. When you love your fellow Christians, when you love your pastor, when you love your elders, when you love the other people in your church, you have passed out of death from life. But whoever does not love abides in death. Wow, that's powerful, isn't it? Whoever does not love abides in death. If you don't love people, if you're selfish, if you're cold, if you can't stand your pastor, your elders, and your church members, if you can't stand the people that around you, if you're always getting mad at people, then you abide in death. And the spiritual death has taken over and separated you from God and from other people. So that spiritual death is separation from God and separation from one another. And if you don't love people, you're abiding in spiritual death. So start loving people. Start loving the people around you in the Christian faith. Start loving your brothers and sisters and forgetting about those small insults and slights and things that have happened to you that have turned you off your brothers and sisters in Christ. Okay, next, after the lifestyle of love, which we said is fundamentally important, you must love, you cannot hate. A true Christian loves, a false Christian hates. So next test of a true Christian is a righteous lifestyle. God wants us to live a righteous, straight and orderly life. And let's look at these verses. 1 John, again, chapter 2, verses 3, 4, 5 and 6. And by this we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments. So how do you know that you know God? Because you're keeping God's commandments. Whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word in him, truly the love of God is perfected. By this we may know that we are in him. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he, Jesus, walked. So if I say I'm a Christian and I abide in Jesus Christ, then I have to behave like Jesus. I have to walk as Jesus walked. That walking means a lifestyle of righteousness, truth, abiding in God's word, carrying out God's commandments, giving God's commandments priority over my own needs, my own wants, my own desires, my own carnality. So whoever says I know him but does not keep his commandments is a liar. Someone says, I know God, but then goes out and steals and commits adultery, commits fornication, they're lying. They don't really know God because they're not even trying to obey God's commandments. But whoever keeps his word, whoever keeps the word of God, studies it, says, oh, look, this is what the Bible says. I will keep God's word. I will walk with God. I will live a righteous life. By that person is perfected in Christ because they're reverent to God's word. You have to be obedient. You have to obey the commandments of Jesus Christ in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. All those commandments in the New Testament, go and obey them. Be in fear and trembling as you walk out your salvation. Next verse, 1 John chapter 2, same chapter, verses 28 and 29. 1 John chapter 2, 28 and 29. And now, little children, abide in him so that when he appears, we may have confidence and not shrink from him in shame at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you may be sure that everyone who practices righteousness has been born of him. Practices righteousness means continually, on a daily basis, lives out a righteous, orderly, quiet, and good life. So someone who believes in Jesus and you look at their life and say, oh, that person's straight, that person's good, I can trust that person. That person does the right thing every single time. Their yes is yes, their no is no. They have quiet, integrity, and discipline in their life. You say, everyone who practices righteousness as their daily way of life is of God. So righteous lifestyle is a big sign that someone's a true believer. Obviously, a wicked lifestyle is a sign that someone is a false believer, that they're just pretending to be a Christian. So if you see someone and they say they're a Christian and they're running a business, do they keep two sets of books, one for the tax man and one that's true? Do they take bribes? Do they give bribes? Is the business honest? Do they do good work for their customers, or do they cheat and lie to their customers? Do they have the right weights and measures, or do they cheat with the weights and the measures? You know that, and the Christian, a true Christian, will be righteous. 1 John 3, 7 to 10. Little children, let no one deceive you. Whoever practices righteousness is righteous as he, that is Jesus, is righteous. Whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil, for the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. No one born of God makes a practice of sinning, for God's seed abides in him, and he cannot keep on sinning because he has been born of God. By this it is evident who are the children of God and who are the children of the devil. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is the one who does not love his brother. So here are the two tests. They say, righteousness, love your brother. If you don't love your brother, if you don't practice righteousness, you're not a true Christian. And this is one of the tests we can apply when someone wants to occupy a position in the Christian ministry. They think they're cool, they think they're Christian, and you look at their lifestyle. Does this person consistently practice righteousness? Does this person love people and do good to them? Okay, then this person's very probably a true Christian. We can give them a position in ministry or on the worship team or let them be an usher. But if they're not, if their life is characterized by wickedness and unrighteous living and all kinds of fornication and greed, then they're probably not a true Christian, and we have to be very careful about letting them near even the brethren. So here it says, let no one deceive you. Whoever practices righteousness is righteous as he is righteous. It says, let no one deceive you. There are some nice people out there. They're very good at flattery. They've got all sorts of showmanship. They've got all sorts of things that they do, and yet they are not telling you the truth. They're deceptive, and they don't practice righteousness. They're just after your money. They're just after your approval. They're just after applause. So whoever practices righteousness is righteous. Whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil. Some people are of the devil. Jesus called the Pharisees sons of the devil and murderers from the beginning. Their hearts were so full of hate and rage. There are some people who are children of the devil. And those children of the devil are always sinning. They're always rebelling against God. They're always full of anger and rage. And they keep on sinning again and again and again. So the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. So God wants to destroy the sinful people and their practices. No one born of God makes a practice of sinning. Why is that? Because once God comes into your heart, comes into your mind, takes over your life, you don't want to sin anymore. You might sin. You might stumble and fall and get hurt and say some bad words or this or that and the other. You might occasionally be tempted and fall into sin, but you hate it. You don't want to make a practice of it. You want to run back to God quickly and repent and be cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. It says that in 1 John chapter 1. It talks about if we do sin, we have an advocate, Jesus Christ the righteous, and his blood cleanses us from all iniquity. So you can go back to Jesus and get put right. But the person who loves God doesn't want to keep on sinning. Why? Because he has been born of God. We have a new nature. We're born again. We've been born of God. We're not born of the devil. We're born from heaven. And that's the way we want to go forward. So a righteous lifestyle is absolutely critical to being a Christian. You can't go around and be a Christian burglar. You can't go around and steal from people's houses and say, hey, I'm a great Christian, but I just support myself from stealing. That is obviously a contradiction in terms. Your lifestyle has to be a righteous lifestyle. The next and last test for this little episode of Insights for Eternity is the Holy Spirit. And does the person have the Holy Spirit in their heart and in their life and in their mind? The Holy Spirit is given to us as soon as we're born again. It dwells in us, and our bodies become temples of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit wants to lead us to do holy things and to love one another and to obey Christ's commandments. That's what the Holy Spirit's there for, to give us power to love people, power to be righteous, power to carry out the works of God. 1 John 3:24, whoever keeps his commandments abides in God and God in him. So he's talking about obeying the commandments of God. And by this we know that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given us. So one of the jobs of the Holy Spirit is to testify to you that Christ is in you, that Christ is in your heart and in your mind, and you are making you able to carry out the commandments of Jesus Christ, because the flesh cannot carry out the commandments of Jesus Christ. It is not able to do so. It is always in rebellion against God. So the flesh and the Spirit are at war with one another, and if Christ dwells in us, we will be able to carry out the commandments of God. We'll be able to overcome the flesh. We'll be able to overcome our lusts, and we will know that Christ in us, because the Holy Spirit, our anointing, who's given us from God, the Holy Spirit will testify to you that you're a son of God and make it evident to you, and it will be evident to others through your obedience to the commandments of Jesus Christ. People will say, this person has a different spirit. They actually want to be righteous. They actually want to be good. They don't want to indulge their flesh all day and all night. They're not watching these things or doing these things. This person is different. They are following the commandments of Jesus Christ. And the next thing about the Holy Spirit, 1 John chapter 4, verses 12 and 13. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. So I'd say God's love, and God wants to abide in you, wants to dwell in you, he wants to make his home in you, he wants to be perfected in you. And how do we know that God abides in us? Because the Holy Spirit will testify to us that Christ is present, that God is dwelling in us and through us. And so the love we have for one another, it doesn't come from our own flesh. It comes from the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit who produces love in us. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, and self-control. And you want to draw on the Holy Spirit in your life. If you're lacking a spiritual quality, just go to God and say, I believe I am receiving the spiritual qualities I need right now to be obedient to you. You can say, I believe I am receiving the love of God for my friends and family. Or I believe I am receiving peace from God in the midst of my circumstances. You just believe, receive, and pray for the things that you need from the heavenly realms. And God will be with you, and God will bless you, and God will strengthen you. And this is what a true Christian does. A true Christian is full of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is filling them with the fruit of the Spirit, enabling them to obey the commandments of Jesus Christ, allowing them to be righteous, allowing them to love one another. Okay, let's go back through the four tests that we've gone through today. Just a little bit of revision here. Number one, test of a true or a false Christian. A true Christian has fellowship with the saints and stays in the true doctrine of the church, being the New Testament, the Apostles' Creed, the Nicene Creed, and the Formula of Chalcedon. They stay within the traditional teaching of the church, don't go out setting up other churches and denominations, but they stay with the Bible and they don't add anything to the Bible, and they like and love the Christian brothers and sisters. They have fellowship with the saints. Number two characteristic of a true Christian is the true Christian has agape love. They love their brothers and sisters. They love their pastors, their elders, their church. They love the people that God has placed them with, and they have agape love in their heart. And whoever loves abides in God. Whoever does not love abides in death. So we have to love. He who hates abides in death, but he who loves abides in eternal life. You really need to have a choice in your life between living by hate and living by love. And you're a true Christian if you decide to live by agape love. Number three test is a righteous lifestyle. A false Christian has a wicked lifestyle. A true Christian has a righteous lifestyle. A true Christian does not just keep on sinning. They repent. They get their act together, they go on forward. So one of the tests of a true Christian is a righteous lifestyle. One of the tests of a false Christian is a consistently false and wicked lifestyle. And finally, the presence of the Holy Spirit. A true Christian has the presence of the Holy Spirit. They have the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, gentleness, meekness, and self-control. They are present. But the false Christian does not have the fruit of the Spirit. They just have religious language and we know we abide in God if we have His Spirit. Fellowship with the saints, agape love, righteous lifestyle, the presence of the Holy Spirit. These are the tests of a true Christian believer. I hope you've taken some notes. This is John Edmiston signing off with Insights for Eternity. God bless you all.
Thank you for listening to Insights for Eternity with Pastor John Edmiston. We hope that you have been blessed. May the Lord strengthen you as you do His work. If you want to contact John Edmiston, just send an email to johned@cybermissions.org. johned@cybermissions.org. May the peace of God be with you.